shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. My name is Chris Jeffa.
And I'm Katie Norgan, and with us is the same guest we had last week. And it's the same day for us.
2 weeks in a row.
You're famous.
You're super famous. We just had so much to say, we had to have her back, please. And give a warm welcome.
To Noelle.
To Noelle, who cannot hear your warm welcome, but she can feel it.
Yeah, who has totally taken a separate ferry to be here with you a
exactly,
time.
Which is why we're doing like more episodes, because you're coming from so far away. Yes. We gotta just like wring all of the good content out of you before we send you home.
You know, I used to think that the ferry was like incredibly long, but now that I take the ferry casually, it's like it's just an hour and like 25 minutes.
You just
it's
sit and read a book.
Really, it's ideal.
I genuinely really like taking the ferry, but only because I don't normally have to get a car on it.
Yeah.
Usually I'm just
that's nice.
Physically putting myself on there, and there's no rigmarole there. You just like you pay your $14 and you're like, hello, yes, please take me to the large island.
Hmm.
Or the thing that's the really large island, which is to say North and South America.
That's what together. I always say when I buy a ferry ticket. Please, can I one for North America?
Okay, yours was funnier. I gotta give you that. God damn it, Noelle. I've got a reputation to uphold. Aren't you supposed to be a boring stay-at-home mom right now? Not the funny one?
Oh,
this is all I have!
Problems that I have too much time on my hands.
Oh no, just
and now you're coming up with witticisms left and right.
Yes. I'm actually like really obsessed with puns lately for some reason. I think it's like when you have a child, you become interested in puns. It's like hormones.
I must have had some fake alarms or something, because I'm still super into puns. Must have had a chemical pregnancy at some point.
Oh, wow. That's some serious... That's dark.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it a dark thing?
I don't know.
Well, okay, well, if you're going to, like, get into our feminist podcasting and, like, talk about our vaginas and stuff, I can...
Like, we are gender essentialist feminist podcast.
I can talk about my experience
podcast.
With chemical pregnancy, which is why it was
so you've
really,
had a dark experience with
really
this.
It was really dark. It was so dark.
Oh, okay. Well, my deepest apologies.
No.
Like, as in being on birth control? Or...
No, okay, so I didn't even know this was a thing. Like, in my mind, a miscarriage is a bloody mess, you know? Like, I wake up and there's a dead horse's head in my bed, you know? And
you know
it's
the
like,
Godfather's
oh!
very angry with you.
Yeah, exactly, but it's, so when we decided that we wanted to get pregnant, I was like, all the science, all the time, I'm gonna chart, I want to know, like, the exact 3 minutes that I'm ovulating, like, now is the time, let's do it!
Fire it up!
Yes, like... And so
my dick.
And the more you learn about the more you learn about this, it's amazing that anyone manages to get pregnant.
I know.
Like there's really like a
idiots just do it by accident all the time.
But there's such a small window.
But there's such a small window. You have to be having sex with your 14-year-old boyfriend like at the right fucking time.
I don't want to have sex with a 14-year-old.
No, I know, but like I'm talking about teen pregnancy. You know, like we're all as women. You know, you're like.
You just assume that you're fertile
just
every second.
Every second, that one moment when the condom came off,
thought
that
I got,
was it.
I took,
you know,
I took the pill and I used condoms with my high school boyfriend, and I for sure I was pregnant.
Right. So I wasted so many hours being horribly upset about like random little accidents or whatever. And anyway, I mean that's TMI, but
well, we're gonna get into.
We're talking about sperm getting into places that it's not supposed to be,
or so, actually where it's actually. Supposed
yes,
to,
like, so anyway, we decided to get pregnant, like, on purpose, and...
Gross!
Just kidding. Yeah. So I was, like, you know, looking up, and it's actually kind of interesting, like, there's a whole...
Looks like you have to put your hoo-ha in machacha!
Yes, now's the time, this is the hour. And...
It's 2 minutes to midnight.
Totally. And so
ovulation stations.
You know, if you want to, speaking of, but you know, actually, if you want to go back in time to when it was kind of scary that you might get pregnant.
Yeah.
So random factoid.
Like a week ago.
Random factoid. Sperm can live inside of you for like 7 days. So if you have sex within that period, in the 24-hour window, you can be like inseminated when you're not actually having sex. And then, like, it's So that's kind of cool and true, right?
Because I'm reading that Taking Charge of Your Fertility book that you probably gave me.
Yes,
and it has
did.
All the charting and stuff. And it's like, if you want to think about, like, trying for one sex over the other, there's, like, techniques around, like...
Right around, like, for example, female sperm are, like, bigger and butchier and they, like, push forward, but they're,
yeah,
slower,
they're slower.
Whereas the men are, like, small and fast and, like, so...
If you're trying
depending
to have a boy,
on the,
you have to
so
have
they're like
consistency,
spiders, basically.
Depending on the consistency of the fluid in which they are swimming, you are having
your
a
cervical
boy,
mucus.
The, right, so like the girls are better.
I've
at getting
read the
through,
books.
The girls are bigger and stronger, so they like take more time, but they are strong. Like they will push through areas that the men's sperm cannot access.
Okay.
So depending on like in a 48
so
hour
fuck
period,
way before you,
if you fuck before you ovulate. You're more likely to have a girl, whereas, like, if you're doing it, like, at the moment of ovulation, you're more likely to have a boy. Theoretically.
Yeah.
And clever.
I don't know. And it's
so,
like, and who knows what you'll actually get, because kids
yes.
will discover their own gender later.
And as we will learn in the future of me telling this story, a pregnancy and having a child is a game of all these things are normal, unless they don't happen, in which case that's also normal, so just go home and try not to worry. So anyway, we decided to get pregnant, and then we were, like, trying, and so the first month it was not successful, which was, like, to nobody's surprise except for me, and I, like, had
some
hormonal crying when I got my period. I was like, oh my god! And then the next month, I had gone through my initial mourning period of not succeeding in the first month because I'm a terrible perfectionist. So the second month, I peed on a stick very nonchalantly and got a positive.
Oh,
and
wow.
And was, like, was super surprised. And so I had, like, 5 days of being pregnant, and then I, like, peed on a stick 5 days later, because actually, your hormone levels increase on a daily basis once you become pregnant.
Right.
So a good way to, like, track how that progress is going is to, like, pee on a stick every day, and if the line gets darker, then you know that it's going well.
Right. Or also the thing about, like, tracking your temperature, if you keep tracking, you get 18 days of high temperature, then you're
right.
probably pregnant.
Hmm. Right, that's another thing. So mm-hmm. I was taking my temperature every day, and then my temperature started going down, which mm-hmm. is probably why I peed on a stick. And then
right.
it was, like, not pregnant.
Oh.
So, but I had only been pregnant for, like, you know, 5 days, or if you think about it, 2 weeks, because then 2 weeks before I had ovulated, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I was so upset because I had, like, put all this emotional investment into trying to get pregnant, and then that moment when I got the positive test, I was, like, imagining, you know, 20 years in advance, my, like, beautiful relationship with my child, and I was talking to him, I was excited, and calling my mom, you know, like, and, like, you know, obviously I wasn't going to tell the entire goddamn world, but I did call my mom and get really excited about
mm-hmm,
it, and
yeah.
with my husband as well, and, like, so then, like, having to go back and... was really devastating, and not only that, but I bet I was on some sort of ridiculous hormone cocktail at the time, and
oh,
I was
sure.
like, I cried for like 2 straight days,
aww.
To the point where my mom is like, you need to get it together and just like, get over this, it's not
wow.
really that big of a deal.
Yeah, it happens to pretty much every
yeah,
woman
and
when
since
she's
then I
get
found
pregnant.
Out that it happens in like 1 in 2 first pregnancies or something like
yeah.
that, and most people don't even notice because they're not testing at like the first second they're supposed to have their period, like I was, because I was like super into getting pregnant.
Yeah.
So then the next month I was like kind of super, by that point, you know, because I'm so like keen, I had exhausted myself, you know, like 2.5 months had passed and I was just like, whatever, you know, like, so I like stopped doing all the things. I had quit smoking weed. I quit drinking. I was like on the super clean, like gonna conceive in the best possible physical shape. Like, you know,
yeah.
I was really on the drinking the Kool-Aid.
But you were not drinking Kool-Aid because
no,
that's artificial flavors
that's
and sugars.
Sugar. So anyway, the third month we had this week-long vacation plan where we were going to go look at houses on the island, and so, you know, I had my victory wine that I was going to drink ready for when I got the negative test, and I was, like, waiting for the day that I was supposed to get my period so I could, like, test and then start drinking on my vacation, because
yeah.
I had been sober, you know, because we had been trying to conceive still, so I was, like, obviously trying not, you know, so... oh, actually, I got kind of drunk in that 2-week period of, like, having conceived and then, like, those
yeah.
2 weeks. Anyway, so I, like, was really stressed out and about the vacation, and my husband's like, you're probably not pregnant, like, smoke a joint, you know, and I was like, whatever, so I smoked a joint. The next morning, I got a positive pregnancy test, and I had to remain sober as the day I was born for my entire week-long vacation that I was expecting to be able to party after all of this terrible conception, you drama, know, like, drama and stress, and then it was like, congratulations, you're pregnant, and then, like, and that one stuck, obviously, you know.
So that was River.
Yes, that was River. And I peed on a stick every single day for, like, 14 days, watching that line get long, get darker and darker. And, like, because I was obviously just, like, traumatized thinking I was going to miscarry. And, like, I had a really hard time being happy about having achieved what I wanted. And so there was that stress for a really long time. And I ended up getting, like opt-in blood testing to see if she had chromosomal defects, because I was I want to know, like, I don't want to be stressed about this for my entire pregnancy. I would rather, like, shell out $800. You tell me if she's normal, and I will feel much better about this.
Hard. And you, like, because you have, as we mentioned in last week's podcast, you have a tendency to overanalyze and overthink. Yeah, and so, like, you just really wanted to, like, I will worry about this forever unless I get every answer that I need.
Yeah, well, and I, you know, I'm a person who employs marijuana on a medicinal basis for stress, and in the absence of that, I did not want to spend my entire pregnancy just, like, stressing in loops, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So, it was, anyway, so the chemical pregnancy is a real thing, and it actually was, like, if anyone is out there wanting to go through this process of conceiving a child on purpose...
Sounds fake, but okay.
I would recommend not testing the moment you think you're going to get your period and waiting, like, a good week and just, like, miss that period and just chill out and live your life, because you won't be traumatized if you have a miscarriage, because you won't even know it's a miscarriage. In fact, many of us have probably already had a miscarriage and didn't know about it.
The weird thing about my miscarriage, I've, like, talked about it a little bit on the podcast, was, like, I just had a super heavy period, but for some reason I knew. And, like, I hadn't tested. Like, I get really irregular periods, so I do test for pregnancy a lot. And this particular time I just didn't. I'm like, oh, it's just I always have really irregular cycles. It's nothing. And then I had this, like, super intensely hard period, and it would, like, stop for a day and then start up again really hard for a day. Is that my phone? Did Siri? Yeah. Siri just came on when I said period, not Siri. Fuck.
If you say Siri, does it wake up?
I don't know. But yeah, I had, like, a super intense period, and then just something hurt, and it felt like something was ripping out of me more than, like, just the usual shedding. And I said to my partner, like, I think I'm having a miscarriage, and he was like, what the fuck? Like, did you know you were pregnant? I'm just like, I don't know, but I guess I'm gonna go check. And then they did the test, and it's like, yeah, you're, like, your hormone levels, you've probably been pregnant for, like, a month.
Wow.
Crazy.
And I was just like, whoa, crazy. Yeah, so that's, so it was, like, a big, some big business sort of came out of there, and... I still haven't had I haven't had a regular period since then. And so they're like, you really should get an ultrasound and see if anything's still stuck in there.
You should.
Yowza.
So I need to make that appointment. Agreed. I just am putting it off.
Well, yeah, anyway, vaginas.
Periods. They're crazy. They
So, like, your whole pregnancy, though, was, like, pretty interesting. Like, it was neat to, to follow along with you. Because normally as a doula, like, I would come in at the... last 3 months or whatever.
That makes me remember, and it has to do with what you're talking about. So, like, you know, I used to watch these shows on TV, like, I didn't know I was pregnant. Have you ever watched that show?
I'm familiar with its concept.
It's, and you know, I was righteous going, like, how can anyone mistake a pregnancy? And okay, so to some extent this is true. I mean, when you're 9 months pregnant, if you don't know that shit, you should get your sanity checked. But like, like, in the first couple of months, like, in the Hollywood frame of mind, you know, when you get pregnant, you, like, wake up one morning and you, like, rush to the toilet and throw up, and it's like someone goes, are you pregnant? And then, like, the whole thing goes, and you go to the hospital, it's like you're a liter of water drops to the floor.
Are you just describing the plot of Look Who's Talking?
Yes, exactly. And this is what everyone thinks about, like, being pregnant, but the first couple of months, like, you could explain away a lot of those symptoms as, like, you know, I just haven't been feeling very good.
I'm just really tired lately, I haven't been sleeping well.
You know, I ate something the other day, and it must not have agreed with me, and, like, it's not really, there isn't, like, there aren't alarm bells sounding going, like, you're growing a baby, congratulations.
I got, like, I was like, oh, I had allergies, I was really tired, and then I, like, got Norwalk virus or so I thought. I just, like, started, like, puking a lot.
Yeah.
And then I puked so much, and then I started, like, and then I got my period. It was just, like,
this weird shock to the system. I mean, it would have to get pretty bad for you to go to the doctor and say, I'm having a whole host of random symptoms.
Exactly.
This is, like, really affecting my life. You'd have to have an incredibly bad morning sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I mean, so I totally understand that now. Up until the point where you start to feel the baby moving around inside you, and then maybe it's time to go to the doctor.
Yeah. It's a really strange thing to me, because I think, like, I assume that I would know the first second if I was pregnant, but I don't know that for a fact, because it's
some women
just never happened
every
to
month.
Me.
Like, my mom got, like, two periods or something, and, like, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. That's actually a sign of pregnancy if you, like, bleed right around your... anyway.
So stupid.
All the
so
stuff stupid. That's supposed to say, like, oh, you're definitely not pregnant if you bleed.
Yeah.
Right?
But that's apparently perfectly normal.
Perfectly. Not so, only that, but, like, everybody who's trying to conceive is like, oh, God, the spotting. I want the spotting to happen. It's like, yeah.
That's so funny. So you got really into just researching stuff around pregnancy,
yeah,
and
well,
you got
I mean,
into Reddit
oh,
pretty big
Reddit.
Time. And I want to hear about some
okay,
of the
so,
shit that you got into
yeah,
before
so
you were obsessed with getting pregnant.
I had posted some things on Reddit, and I had a Reddit account with, like, a fair amount of karma, and, like, even though they're meaningless internet points, it, like, sort of meant something to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I was, you know, participating in the community on Reddit, and certainly when I was trying to conceive, and then later when I was
for
pregnant,
sure.
I was on the subreddits for those subjects, and I became involved in it, because it's like, you know, you're sitting around for 9 months, it's interminable, you're sober as the day you were born. You know, sometimes you just need to, like, get lost in some internet drama.
Sometimes you just gotta. That seems like a good escape.
Yes.
What choice have you got?
And so I pissed some people off with my apparently controversial opinions. It's not fresh in my mind right now because the baby's, like, 9 months old, but I managed to... Okay, so someone had posted... Did you guys know that there's, like, a subculture of people who want babies but can't have babies, so they, like, pay thousands of dollars to this service that, like, creates a lifelike baby doll?
Yep.
That they then mail you and you, like...
A reborn
you post
doll.
It, right, and then you post about Oof. It on social media because you're a narcissistic
your
idiot. And... You know, anyway, so people do this, and it's a thing. And then someone was saying that, like, they were reading online, and people in their Facebook feed were posting about their
reborn dolls.
Pregnancies.
Yeah.
Pregnancies, well, because pregnancies. There's you have to wait 9 months to receive the doll, during which you post shitty crap on Facebook about how you're having morning sickness, and you're having a difficult pregnancy. And so this person was posting on Baby Bump saying, this is kind of offensive because I actually am having a difficult pregnancy and these assholes are online posting about their imaginary morning sickness and I'm actually, like, in the hospital on bed rest and how dare they, like, so...
It's, like appropriating your experience kind
right?
of thing.
And so
something.
I actually, you know, because I'm kind of an asshole sometimes and so I was, like, and I was pregnant as fuck at that time, too, like, so I was... pretty righteous in my indignation. And I replied and I sort of likened the experience to rape.
Oh dear.
My which I understand in retrospect was probably wrong. But this is the internet where you can say what you really mean. And what I said was, it's kind of like saying that you were raped. As, like, you know, so, and then updating Facebook about your imaginary rape and saying, well, today I had a good cry in the shower about my imaginary rape.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, that's actually kind of discounting people who are really having those experiences, and it makes those real experiences, like, sort of more meaningless. It's kind of like the girl who cried wolf argument about, like, you
yeah.
know, women who cry rape in scenario like I did, you know, likening these things.
Oh, okay.
I understand the hypocrisy of what I'm explaining to you. So anyway, I pissed
like...
off a lot of people because they were like, how dare you?
Right.
You know, like, so I got a lot of hate and I was pretty hormonal and it upset me at the time that I was getting so much bad feelings. So I deleted my very karmic Reddit account. It still bothers me to this day. Yeah, and I pissed off some other people for some other reason, and I'm trying to remember it, but I don't right now. Yeah, so the online mommy community is, they're...
Intense.
Yeah, intense, and they're quick to jump to, how dare you, I'm so offended by what you just said, Oh, the other story was someone posted on Baby Bumps about how they had, like, miscarried their 35-week gestation child, or something like that.
It's for people that don't know, because this is when I first started my doula training, they started talking about, oh, how many weeks?
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's full term.
For me, I always thought, like, oh, how many months? Like, how many months are you pregnant? It's like, oh, I'm 8 months pregnant. But it's like, oh, I'm 32 weeks pregnant. Mm. I never really got that, but 40 weeks is the full term, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 37 is full
term. 37 is full term.
So then 32 is pretty fucking close. Anyway,
right. So just, someone, all right. So, and if anyone has never used an internet forum, usually when you're, you know, because people are sensitive Sallies, you tag your posts first if you're going to talk about something that's going to inflame people. So there was a person who posted with no tags, and it was like right in the subject feed. I'm going through this, like, you know, news feed of posts, and in there is, you know, my dead baby, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, like, I'm about 33 weeks pregnant right now, and I don't need this shit. Like, so I posted on the thread. I was like, can you tag? Like, I don't need this right now. And I got so much hate. They were like, how dare you? This woman is pouring her heart out on social media, and you're just being a hater. And I was like, whatever, guys.
Well, your thing was kind of like, you're posting in the thread of, like, women that are actively pregnant about your miscarriage.
It's like, maybe there's a different place. Yeah, like, post on the fucking miscarriage subreddit.
Oh, anyway. There's so many subreddits.
This is why I don't Reddit anymore. Because since, like, I deleted my account, and now I am merely a lurker, and I enjoy it so much more. I waste so much less time, like, getting involved in people's bullshit.
Man. But, like, that's, I think we talked about this before, just, like, the difficulty of any kind of advice or research around pregnancy, because it's just, like, there's so much advice, and then it's like, or maybe that's not your experience, and that doesn't work for you, so if this doesn't happen, then that's also fine, and you're like, well, what is it then? Like, did you get a lot of conflicting advice from, like, doctors and stuff, or was it mostly just, like, books and
I don't know, I mean, it's kind of like, well, I guess the major lesson that I took from the entire experience was that everybody has a very individual physiology, and that although we understand the general patterns of pregnancy and childbirth, there's no, like, specific timeline, there's no specific list of symptoms. So although we can say, you know, these things are associated with pregnancy, and then those things become normal and what you expect, when that doesn't conform to those norms, it's still normal, but, like, this is what it's kind of absurd.
Yeah.
Like, so anyway,
it should be like this, but don't worry if it's not.
Right,
like,
and but when should I worry? All you do is worry when you're pregnant, because, like, there's, at any moment, something could go wrong, and you're really
it's
not,
abjectly,
like,
terrifying.
Yeah, and you have really no vices to distract
and
you.
And you're not in control. Like, it's the ultimate loss of control. Your body is, like, on this trajectory. It is doing its own thing. It is making its own. It's like, I'm not waking up every day and, like, punching in my pregnancy card, like, okay, another day at the office. Like, I didn't do anything. All I did was sleep and eat ice cream and, like, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I remember you saying that to me, where it's just like, it's so weird because I know my body very well, and now it's just doing all these things on its own, and it looks completely different and feels completely different. I'm just, like, a passenger along for the ride.
In an alien body that doesn't feel like your body. From month number 3 onwards.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird. Yeah, so, I mean, of the things that I read, many of those things did happen to me, but many of them didn't happen to me, you know? So I knew, perhaps I stressed myself out unnecessarily, but also, like, I have known about a lot of things that happened, and it was perhaps less stressful than it might have been.
Yeah, for you, it's good to be armed with a lot of knowledge.
That's
I know,
overanalyzing, if I know the 1,000 outcomes, at least I'll be prepared when it does happen. Although, my many therapists have told me that, you know, advanced anxiety does not make the actual event less painful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to think about the line between pre-preparation and over-obsession, because that's where the gray area is.
Do you have, a deep fantasy life? Like, you've mentally run through these scenarios in a very deep way
in
your
head? If I make a major decision in my life, it is because I have considered approximately 30 outcomes in advance.
I just think about, like, because we were talking, like, in the previous episode, we were talking about death and how, like, I had said off mic, like, I don't think that I will be as easy to support through one of my parents passing away as I feel like you were, Chris. It's like, I didn't find it challenging at all to provide support to you. I'm like, this is easy. Great. But I feel like for me, I would be a total wreck. So, because I have like mentally gone through, just imagined what it would be like, right? Mm-hmm. Like just creating these scenarios that I've either seen on TV or experienced with a different person in my life and imagining exactly what it would be like. And you know what? Not good for my anxiety.
Because you just, like, over sort of catastrophize a little bit?
Well, exactly. Or? And it's the same thing, like, when I used to be really, really keen. This is just so hilarious. This fucking ice cube.
I'm sorry.
We're just having a bartending time.
I'm really listening to you.
No, I know you are. It's just like, go on, clink. Yeah, fear of death, clink.
I'm so listening right now.
I believe you. A lot of
our friends that listen to this say it's like having a drink with your friends. And like, yeah. Noelle, you were listening
I'm glad to be participating in this.
You were listening to this podcast while you were pregnant.
So
like,
sober,
doing
too, and I was just like, oh, God,
and just
drinking.
Listening to us clinking the glasses.
Just, like, your mouth watering the whole time.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's not too irritating for
everybody. No, it was kind of like going out with friends and drinking, but not actually doing it.
Right. So it's a bit of like blue balls, socially speaking,
drinking speaking. Well, you know, to be honest, like, I'm a person who likes to get intoxicated, but after like month number two, I was like giving zero fucks about anything.
Yeah,
you know,
like, it's harder at the start, probably.
Yeah, it was just hard in the beginning.
But then that first joint after,
oh God,
was so good. Right,
this is gonna make me sound like a criminal, but that's okay. We're
I think it's
friends.
Okay. You're in a safe space.
Yeah. So I didn't do anything. I was very, very, very clean and squeaky during my pregnancy. Yep. I had a couple of glasses of wine on separate occasions, like, you know, one glass of wine on New Year's
As
Eve,
As your doula,
example.
I totally endorse that.
Yes, my midwife endorsed it. Yeah. My doctor endorsed it. Everybody was cool. So then I had this incredibly intense and traumatic birth, which we don't really need to get into, but I could if you'd like to hear the story.
We did talk about it a little bit on last week's episode, but it just took a really fucking long time.
Right. It took a really fucking long time. Yeah. So when we got home from the hospital, I had been there for like a couple of days, and I was, you know, I had been, the nurses are very supportive, and so I got home and it was like 3 p.m, and I went into this like carefully and obsessively crafted baby's room that I had been, you know, decorating for the past 3 months, and put her in the things that I had for her, and like kind of stood there and was like, what am I gonna do now? And just burst into tears. I was a ball of hormones at that moment.
Of course.
And like, it's really intense. Like, I was crying for zero reasons, like, in those first few weeks, so this is not even surprising in retrospect, but I had like a breakdown. I was like, I don't even know if I can leave the room. Like, can I get up to pee? Is she gonna die? Like, maybe, what if she stops breathing? Like, it just, like, every possible outcome of horribleness ran through my mind. And I had been talking about smoking this victory joint for 9 months. And my wonderfully supportive partner was like, this is the moment right now. Go outside. I'm gonna take care of it. And I did. And it was, I immediately felt terribly guilty and so awesome at the same time. And it was like so many emotions. You know, like, I had all the culmination of like all the worry and anticipation and effort and surgeries and drugs and just, anyway, I got super stoned. And then obviously I was like stoned and I had a newborn and I was like, and so my husband was like, go to bed and just sleep as long as you want. I probably didn't sleep for like 4 days. Like, I didn't hardly slept in the hospital too. Adrian was exhausted and I had this baby and I was like trying to breastfeed and it was intense. And so I slept for like 4 or 5 hours after that. And it was like, it changed my whole life. Like, it was just, and I woke up and my milk had come in, which is this mysterious thing. No one, at all the reading I had ever done about pregnancy and all the things that happen to your body, I knew very little about this in early stages of breastfeeding. And
yeah. You'd heard the phrase, I'm sure.
You'd heard the phrase of your milk coming in, but it was very mysterious. It was like it happens at some point after you give birth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have it when you give birth. It comes to
you. You have colostrum when you give birth?
Yes, you have colostrum, but it's incredibly difficult to extract. It comes out in, like, tiny little amounts.
This is what I learned from my breastfeeding course was, like, It's basically like a power bar for babies, and baby stomachs are like the size of a fucking pea. And so they only need a few drops. So it's like, as long as they're like sucking on your nipples, like extracting that, they're getting stuff. Yeah, we're talking
about like a lentil sized drop in one session like, or something like that.
With like
all
the nutrients.
And then at some mysterious point that they can't tell you, because when it happens, it's normal. Whenever it happens, your milk comes in, which it happened, and it was like, I woke up and they were like, torpedo.
Did you have like the torpedo bra from
yes,
Tank
and
Girl?
I was like, what? This is crazy. And so
is it just huge or
just like rock hard and to the border, to the point of being like semi painful, but childbirth I was like sort of hurts.
I don't even know what pain is anymore.
Yeah. So then they, you know, had to go to the midwife and like have a whole appointment with the lactation consultant, because just because one's milk has come in doesn't mean one knows anything about breastfeeding or how to breastfeed.
One can't simply breastfeed the
home. One does not simply breastfeed a child. So it took several days to get the hang of it, and after that it was okay. And but since then I have learned, not that I went off the rails, because I was very, I'm going to say this and I'm telling the truth, I was very judicious about smoking weed while I was breastfeeding, because obvious reasons, and I was very careful to do it and then wait a long time before
attempting to breastfeed. To let things metabolize in your system.
To let things metabolize, and we supplemented with formula because my supply was never really that great. I tried all the things, so let's not even get into that.
Right up your butt.
Oh, God. And, you know, it's a first baby thing. Apparently, it's very common.
Right.
So, anyway, apparently, since then, I have learned that oxytocin, the all-knowing, all-powerful chemical that stimulates labor, it's what you release when you have an orgasm, you release it when you're sleeping, it's the greatest chemical known to man.
Mm-hmm.
It's also released when you smoke marijuana.
Ah.
And it's the breastfeeding hormone.
It is.
So it stimulates letdown, which is probably why my milk came in after I smoked my first joint in 9 months. And
magical.
Yeah, so, you know, I didn't really feel that bad about it, I guess. I mean, she's the best ever. She's super smart.
Your baby's
like,
super chill.
She's super chill. Like,
sorry.
So.
That baby's feeling.
Anyway, I mean, I smoke marijuana a little bit more now that I'm not breastfeeding anymore, so like obviously I didn't like partake all the time and then feed my child willy-nilly, but mm-hmm. I think it was a good thing, and mm-hmm. I think perhaps with legalization and research we're gonna learn that it's actually perhaps
helpful
for, I mean, I could have used it when I had terrible morning sickness, I could have used it for a host of things during pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible joint pain and my thirst.
My thirst for joints.
In my third trimester, I had horrible hip pain, and I mean, it could have been great. I'm sure, I mean, like, it would probably be administered in some sort of tincture rather than being smoked.
Yeah.
Sure. But, I mean, joys of marijuana.
The whole thing about research around like anything with pregnancy is so tenuous too, because no one wants to experiment on a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Because
well,
what do you do if
okay,
like,
so there was the one thing that made me feel like sort of better about breastfeeding, like with some occasional marijuana smoking, mm-hmm. was a study that was done in the 90s, I think it was done in the 90s, in Jamaica. It was a longitudinal study where they,
I'm just making a joke. We're making faces at each other. It's like, of course it was in Jamaica.
Of course it was in Jamaica.
What are the effects of Bob Marley on
fetus? Because there's like...
What happens if the father is a bumblecot?
It makes sense because like ethically they can't have a study where they're giving marijuana to pregnant women in North America.
So they have to
they
find people who are already doing it.
Populations that are already doing it. Right. So it was like a longitudinal study that they studied women who were like... There was a control group as well, but there was, like, women who were smoking during their pregnancies and smoking during breastfeeding, and then they tested the babies at, like, intervals, and...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the children were, like, perfectly fine. In fact, in some groups, apparently, they outperformed the control groups in, like, couple of different things. Anyway, so this woman has, like, traveled the world talking about her study and how, like, I mean, so one study does not a conclusion make in science, and that's why I didn't smoke weed during my pregnancy and why I was very careful about it during breastfeeding, because I recognize there's no data, but I think there's probably something there. Mm-hmm. In fact, apparently the human brain has cannabinoid receptors naturally, and those things are related to breastfeeding. It's like, apparently they receive... like cannabinoids help their stimulate their appetite in brain to like.
Oh, interesting! So then the baby will eat more.
It's something like that. It like helps. I guess so. I mean, like I mean, breast milk munchies. Like someone's gonna correct me on the internet.
Don't at us. They won't email us.
Don't worry. Don't. They won't.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm giving you the general Cliff's Notes version of that. Mm-hmm. So I mean, if we have the capacity to absorb these things, perhaps it's not terribly that bad.
I think so.
I think it's A-okay.
It was the big thing, like, my mom was a nurse, or she still is a nurse on the Sunshine Coast, and, you know, Roberts Creek has this huge, like, pot-growing, pot-smoking community since, like, the 60s. It's all the draft dodgers, like, came to Roberts Creek, basically, and so that was a big thing in the 90s, like, what do we do about these moms that smoke weed? And my mom's whole thing, she's always been harm reductionist, like, are you gonna be more stressed out when you're thinking about smoking weed and you can't? Stress hormones are way worse for a baby's brain development than anything marijuana could do. So you may as well smoke a little bit. Yeah. Just to, like...
What, like, during pregnancy or
during
as a mother?
During pregnancy or as a mother, both. Like, it's worse to be stressed the fuck out. That, like, causes so much more, like, attachment disorder.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
like,
get incredibly stoned and take care of my baby. Exactly. I do the majority of my marijuana smoking after she goes to bed in the evenings. But
like, it just, that was the,
I mean,
that was
I'm a firm believer of, like, chill mom, chill baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, whatever you have to do to get to that point is, like...
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, to a certain point, justifiable.
right. Yeah.
Like, and people say that she's super chill, and I think she is. I don't know.
She's really cute.
She's so cute.
I've never met her, unfortunately. I met her when she was still in you, kind of.
Ah. All the anticipation.
Mm-hmm. That's when you and Adrian came over with a pile of croquembouche.
Oh, wow.
And you came in looking like a fertility goddess with a massive mountain of golden cream puffs.
That
and your
was
little
like,
5-month baby belly.
That was when I was still able to cook while pregnant.
You
I really
cute.
Enjoyed that. It was nice. Mm-hmm. It was a nice holiday season and birthday.
Good old second trimester.
Like, that's the best trimester.
It's the best.
You're like just pregnant enough
trimester.
To enjoy being pregnant and like go to the grocery store and people are like, oh, you're pregnant. And you're
like, oh,
yes,
you're
I'm
glowing.
But like when you're
just holding an armful of kale and chard.
Yeah, and there's
I'm Mother Nature.
All of that disappears in your 9th month.
You're like,
you
fuck
become
you,
a
fuck you. Fuck you.
Angry Jabba the Hutt, who's fueled by ice cream and cuddles and...
And spite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And so now, being a parent, now you've got this, like, 9-month-old baby. I know that we were talking a little bit about how it's been an interesting journey, like, with your partner.
Yes.
Like, you know, we talked last week about, like, having some shitty dads, and now you are married to a dad who's the dad of your kid.
And
like,
I have a relationship.
Dad of your dreams.
Yeah, well, I mean, doesn't every woman sort of, like, in their early 20s kind of, like, have a boner for, like, dads who are, like, with their children? Like, do you ever, like, watch, like, be on, like,
early
Kids 20s, Beach or something?
Like...
I know, but you, like, watch, like, this sort of nice, like, salt and pepper dad with, like, his young child and sort of, like, I used to sort of fantasize about
I still
that.
Do. Yeah,
you know,
don't get
and, like,
sure.
like, have this, like, perfect image of, like, what a father is in your mind, like...
Like, that ad for, what, Civic or whatever, where that guy, like, shows up to a high school, and he's wearing a leather jacket, and he's, like, stomping around, like, da-na-na-na, and all the girls are like, oh my god, while he's walking by, and he knocks on the door of a classroom, and it's his wife is the teacher.
Right.
And she opens the door, and then you see the guy finally full, and he has a baby facing outwards, and a baby Bjorn on him, and all the girls
see,
are like, oh
all
my
the women
god.
Immediately, like... Sploosh.
Yeah, I kind of
totally
know.
Sploosh.
Yeah.
I just I like seeing a man be tender with anything, whether
right?
it's a baby
yeah.
or a dog or what.
Right. So like you know, I was talking to Christina about when we were talking about doing this podcast, and I was saying an important point about my experience as a mother is also experiencing my relationship with my husband and watching him be a father and how that's so kind of, like, I have a lot of unwanted feelings relating to my own childhood about
right.
that,
mm-hmm.
and separating the imaginary realities from the real, actual realities has been an interesting kind of, like, challenge.
For sure.
You know, like, some sort of, I sort of assume sometimes that Adrian is going to react in a certain way to a situation, and then he doesn't, and then I'm, like, pleasantly surprised, but it's like I obviously was just imagining things, you know?
Right.
That's right. Part of what experiencing anxiety is like. It seems real, yeah. You know, but it's not real. And so anyway, I mean, watching him be this amazing, I'm just gushing because we're like having wine and stuff, but like watching him be this amazing, just like sensitive and caring father has been like therapeutic for me in ways that I didn't expect.
Right.
So that's been cool.
I think that's really awesome. I like had a tearful cry with our good friend Mark, who like is an amazing dad. Yeah. And, like, just gushing to him, because his wife is so incredible, too. I really love her, and I love their kids. Wonderful. And just being like, I wish I had you as a dad, because it would have been so much better, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, my dad was unpredictable and not, you know, and he, like, our friend is, like, so constant and so loving and so tender.
Stalwart and true.
And just, like, it would have been so cool to, like, sit on my dad's lap while he, like, painted. Like, he was a painter. And it's, like, like Mark's kid sits on his lap while he plays guitar.
Yeah.
And so then I'm, like, hopefully if I am able to have kids, like, that our kids get to sit on Ed's lap while he plays guitar and, like, learn how to, like, use a wood planer.
Like, baby's first planer.
That's really like, precious,
like,
you guys.
Like, that is, like, and it's, you know, you don't want to use your children as therapy, but it like it does help you it does help you process a lot of stuff because you get to see stuff reflected, and there's the choice of like repeating the pattern or trying to be better and be
disrupt
different
the pattern. Yeah,
and that's what I think you and I are both on the same trip as that, like, let's
actually
give our kids,
you
like
know,
the best life.
I have found myself whip those things out in unexpected ways, like my mother has some sisters, not all of which she's on good terms with, and recently we had this semi-falling out between her and one of her sisters.
Right.
So I've always been close to this aunt, you know, even though she's a little cray-cray. And,
sure.
She's never gonna listen to this. So, and I'm saying that because, like, you know, I would normally forgive some crazy behavior, but in this one case, she went out of her way to be malicious to my mother, and I had just had a baby, and she was, like, talking to me, being all nice behind the scenes. My mother's, like, calling me in tears about her relationship with her sisters and ruins, and she's so hurt that people would say terrible things about her, and I'm, you know, trying to make her feel better, and, you know, my aunt's calling me going, hey, I'd love to come and see the baby, and my mom, like, instinct just kicked in, and I was, like, nasty with my aunt.
Ooh.
And I sent her a message. I was like, until you make things nice with my mother, you cannot come over here and pretend that everything is okay. You cannot see my child. You cannot receive photos of my child. This is over.
You need to make things right.
You need to make things right, and I'm not willing to pretend anymore with anyone about anything. Like, you know what I mean?
Wow, it turns to, like, a warrior princess.
Yeah, and, like, you know, because fuck you and coming over and making nice and, like, seeing the baby and then turning around and being an asshole behind the scenes.
Seriously.
And, like, and but this is what I'm talking about. We're going back in time about my relationship with my family as a child and being sort of, like, having experiences behind the scenes with abuse that was sort of, like,
people just
swept
didn't talk
under
about
the rug
it,
and people didn't talk about it, and, like, having to just sort of act like everything was okay, and like, I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to do that as a mother, and I drew the line in the sand, and I feel pretty good about it, you know? I feel like in my relationship with my daughter as a parent, I'm never going to just pretend like everything is cool for the sake of family. Family is not that important. Anyway.
The idea of family is not as
important
as the actual experience mechanics.
My real family,
family
is her.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the people who are there for you and who, like, hold you accountable in kind ways and who, like...
Yeah, and my job is to protect her, even if that means that I have to suffer the consequences in a social sense, you know, with people and... So anyway, I mean, it's been interesting in that.
That's pretty cool. That fired up so much, like, badassery in you, which is really cool.
Yeah, and normally I'm not really the sort of person who... like goes out of their way to create a confrontation. Like, I didn't have to do that. I guess I could have just never answered her back, although I don't know if that would have been very graceful of me.
Well, it just takes the passive out of passive aggression, right? You're right. Like, well, this needs to be dealt with, so do that.
Yeah.
And then we can talk.
Yeah.
I think that's so amazing. Yeah.
I think it's good.
Yeah. You know, that's some good lessons to learn. You don't have to necessarily have a kid to do that, but...
Yeah, we talked about this last week, you know. I am not willing to pretend that my father was... Hmm. That I had a good relationship with him, and mm-hmm. allow me to clarify your situation, mm-hmm. and, like, you know?
Yeah.
It's good.
It just seems like it takes the bullshit out. Like, you're like, I don't have time for this. I'm mortal.
Yeah, and I think...
And I am responsible for another person now, so deal with your shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, not to, like, be overly poetic about it, but, like, every child with a secret dreams of that point where they get to be an adult and make those decisions about,
yeah,
you know, about what you're going to tolerate and what you're not going to tolerate.
Absolutely.
So...
I think that's a good lesson to carry forward as we sort of wrap up this episode.
I think that is a great place to...
Just to...
It feels like 2 minutes have gone by.
Yeah. Like, you just don't have to... You don't have to suffer bullshit.
Mm-mm. Nope.
And you can make things clear, and it's like you don't necessarily have to have kids to do that, but let's keep passing on to the next generations of, like, how to take care of your shit and set some boundaries, and...
Hopefully everybody in the next generation learns just a little more than we did, and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm. And just, you don't have to just cover things up just for the sake of politeness or whatever. Nope. It's okay to lay things bare. It's okay to talk about stuff bluntly.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in the age of no internet message boards.
How do we live?
Like, perhaps I would have... If I had been a technologically inclined child, I might have found someone who could have told me what to do with my situation before it could have ended a lot of pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think people are getting more vocal about, like, their experiences so that people know that they're not alone. People are feeling a little less isolated.
Yeah.
In the world, which I think is a really awesome thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the message that we end pretty much every podcast with these days, where we're like, let's just all take care of each other.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let's just fucking take care of each other, guys. Because who else is gonna?
Mm-hmm.
It's gotta be us.
Yeah.
All right. Love you guys.
Bye.
What a great episode.